COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On May 3, 2016, Giovanna Berni called the San Antonio Police Department to report her sister, 29-year-old Bianca Carrasco, missing. Giovanna explained that she hadn't heard from Bianca since the afternoon of May 1st, and starting that night, Bianca's phone had been turned off. Giovanna asked Bianca's husband, Daniel, what was going on. He said that he and Bianca had a fight on the night of May 1st and she just walked away and he never saw her again. A subsequent investigation led the police to suspect that foul play was involved, but Bianca has never been found. It's been just over 8 years since Bianca disappeared, and investigators are still searching for her. Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. My name is Derek Levasseur. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective. Each week I'll be covering unsolved cases in story format. I'll then give you my perspective on the investigation and provide contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly and maybe you can help solve a case. So if you're someone who's interested in true crime, specifically unsolved cases, and you would like to hear my opinion on those investigations, please consider subscribing, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use. So tonight's case is a little bit perplexing. I'm sure some of you have already heard about Bianca's case before. On the surface, I won't lie to you, it seems like it's obvious who's responsible for her disappearance. But I would caution you because there have been many cases where there's a specific individual who everyone thinks committed the crime or is responsible for someone's disappearance or murder. And then down the road, something comes out, some piece of indisputable evidence that shows definitively that this person wasn't involved. And everyone's just looking at each other like, wow, we really got that one wrong. So I'm not saying that's the case here. The truth is, I don't know. So what I would like to do is go over the case, present the facts as I know them, and then you guys can come to your own conclusions. I will tell you this, just because one scenario seems like the most likely, it doesn't mean that's the case. And when we look at the philosophical approach of Occam's razor, when you have two explanations, the one that requires the least assumptions is usually the correct answer. But when you're talking about a criminal investigation, sometimes it's the outlier. And when officers get tunnel vision, that's how cases can go unsolved. So we're not going to do that tonight. We're going to keep an open mind and a clear perspective on all the facts and circumstances, and we'll discuss the possible scenarios at the end of the episode. So without wasting any more time, let's dive into this week's case. Bianca Carrasco was born on July 21st, 1986 in Odessa, Texas. She mostly grew up in the Houston area with her older sister Giovanna, who described Bianca as compassionate and having a big heart. When Bianca was 18 years old, she met 29-year-old Daniel Carrasco, who goes by the name Daniel. He started pursuing her, and it wasn't long before they were dating. She became pregnant, and the relationship got more serious from there. The couple eventually married and had two more children together, making them a family of five. According to Bianca's friend Julie, who worked on this episode with us, Daniel was previously married and there were rumors that Daniel had left his first wife for Bianca, but Julie doesn't think that's true. She said Daniel caught his previous wife cheating on him with his best friend, so Daniel assaulted the friend, breaking his nose and some ribs, which led to their divorce. In 2008, 22-year-old Bianca started studying to be a licensed vocational nurse, or LVN, at Odessa College. While there, she met Julie, who would soon become a close friend. Bianca finished the LVN program alongside Julie a year later. The two friends started working together, and Julie said that Bianca always took pride in giving the best care possible. She was also an advocate for patients and their families, taking the time to explain everything to them. In October of 2013, Bianca decided that she wanted to go back to school to become a registered nurse. So the family moved to San Antonio and bought a house on Walnut Creek Drive. Shortly after that, Bianca started attending Galen College of Nursing. In the fall of 2015, Bianca graduated and began working as a registered nurse at a cancer medical facility in the San Antonio area. Bianca loved being a nurse and often posted about it on her Instagram. And I will say this, after her disappearance, some of her patients actually came forward and started posting about how incredible she was to them when she was around. It was, if you go back and look at the messages, they're really heartwarming. Now, around the time Bianca became an RN, she and Daniel had separated, so she changed her relationship status on Facebook from married to divorced. It's unclear why the separation occurred because Bianca didn't really confide in her friends and family about what was going on. After they separated, Bianca and Daniel didn't file for divorce and they continued living together. However, Bianca started seeing another man. Julie said that some news outlets reported that Bianca was seeing multiple men, but she was actually only talking to one guy and things were pretty serious. Now, as far as I can find, this individual's name has not been publicized anywhere, so for this episode, we're going to refer to him as Steve. By the spring of 2016, Bianca and Daniel weren't on speaking terms, even though they still lived together. Daniel traveled during the week for his job in the oil field, which was 5 hours away in Odessa. This meant that they only had to interact on the weekends, so despite their issues, they made it work for the children's sake. And although they tried to make it work for the kids, Daniel couldn't accept the fact that Bianca didn't want to be with him. He started doing everything he could to get her to stay. He even quit his job in the oil field and got a job in San Antonio, hoping that being home more would save their marriage. But the new job only lasted for a few days because Daniel became obsessed with figuring out what Bianca was doing and how he could save their marriage. On Wednesday, April 27th, Daniel manipulated Giovanna into helping him access Bianca's call log to see who she was texting. That was when he discovered that she had been dating Steve. Immediately after discovering this information, Daniel emptied their joint bank account and moved the money into an account he only had access to. Bianca texted Giovanna, quote, "Daniel emptied the account and opened another account without my name on it, so now I have no access to money except my credit card, which is almost at the limit. Money that I busted my ass for." According to Julie, Daniel threatened Bianca over text on Wednesday, April 27th, and then again on Thursday and Friday of that same week. These texts range from Daniel telling Bianca that he was going to kill her to threatening to come to her work. Bianca showed the text from Daniel to her coworkers and told them, quote, "If I go missing, you know what happened to me." Bianca even left work early one day that week because she was afraid that Daniel would show up. At this point, Bianca had had enough and told Daniel that she officially wanted a divorce. Although she said this to him, no divorce papers had been drawn up. However, Daniel later told a reporter from News 4 San Antonio that when Bianca went missing, they were already finalizing their divorce, and this was simply not true. No paperwork had ever been filed. At around 2 p.m. on May 1st, Bianca told Giovanna that she wanted to meet with a lawyer to discuss custody of her and Daniel's children and that she had made an appointment for May 6th. Bianca also told Giovanna during this call that Daniel had been creeping her out. She described a situation where she woke up around 2 a.m. and found him just standing over her. After talking to Giovanna, Bianca posted a few Snapchat videos with one of her kids. Later that night, Bianca's phone was turned off, and she never contacted anyone again. Now, we're just scratching the surface on the story. We have a lot more to discuss, but let's take a quick break.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now on May 2nd, Giovanna tried to get a hold of Bianca, but her phone was still off. She spoke with Bianca's workplace and they said she hadn't shown up that day, which was totally out of character for her. Giovanna told them that if Bianca did not show up the next day, she was going to call the police. That night, Giovanna called Daniel because Bianca's phone was still off and she wanted to make sure that everything was okay. Daniel was very calm when he spoke to Giovanna and told her that Bianca had walked away after a fight the previous evening on May 1st. Daniel then told Giovanna what allegedly happened, and he started his story by saying Bianca put the two kids to bed and then they started arguing. Bianca left the house and Daniel left for work, taking the youngest child with him and leaving the other two at home alone. As he was driving to work, he said he saw Bianca walking down the street, but he didn't stop, he just kept going. Daniel said he never saw Bianca again, she never came home, and she left her car at the house. After hearing all of this, Giovanna confronted Daniel about why he drove off when he knew the two other kids were alone in the house, and he said that he assumed that Bianca was eventually going to go back to the house. Bianca's friend Julie told us that when she heard this story, she didn't believe Daniel for multiple reasons. First being, Daniel had recently quit his job so that he could be in San Antonio and keep track of Bianca. So when Daniel said that he was going to work on the night of May 1st, Julie knew that was a lie, as he was currently unemployed. And even if he did have a job, why would he be taking his young child to work with him at night? The other reason Julie knew Daniel was lying was because Bianca did not go for walks, especially not at night while her kids were home alone. Now, after talking to Daniel, Giovanna did not call the police right away. She decided to wait to see if Bianca would show up to work the next day. She also spoke to her other sisters, and they posted on Facebook about Bianca's disappearance. On May 3rd, when Bianca didn't show up for work again, her supervisor called Giovanna, who then called Daniel. Daniel said he didn't want to report Bianca as a missing person because he thought she had left on purpose and was probably just with another guy. Giovanna also asked Daniel what Bianca had been wearing on the night of the 1st, but he claimed he didn't know. After getting off the phone with Daniel, Giovanna knew that something wasn't right, so she called the police and reported Bianca missing. The responding officer asked Giovanna why Daniel didn't call the police, but Giovanna said she didn't know. Now, after hearing all of this, the officer then called Daniel in front of Giovanna, and when Daniel answered, he told the officer that they had the wrong number and hung up. Giovanna said at this point, she knew something was seriously wrong. Daniel did eventually answer his phone and said that Bianca had been cheating on him and had probably left town with the other guy. Giovanna told the police that Bianca did have a boyfriend named Steve, so an officer went to Steve's house, but he wasn't home. He was out of town with a sports team he coached. The officer did, however, speak to his mother. According to the police report, the mother told the officer that a woman with brown hair had been at the house on Saturday, April 30th and Sunday, May 1st. And at around 4 a.m. on the 1st, the woman's husband picked her up from the house. Now, at first, it sounded like this woman could have been Bianca, but it was later determined that this woman was in fact not Bianca. She was actually a close friend of Steve's who also had brown hair. Now, Steve later told Julie that he thinks the police gave a vague description of what Bianca looked like to his mother, and that's why she mistakenly thought the friend was in fact Bianca. So based on this information, I'm assuming that law enforcement went and spoke with Steve's close friend to confirm his story, because by the time they were done, they concluded that Bianca was not with Steve on the night of her disappearance. On May 4th, Child Protective Services got involved in the case after someone at the children's daycare called CPS and reported that before Bianca went missing, she and Daniel had fought a lot. CPS interviewed the daycare employees, the children, and Daniel. Then CPS did an emergency removal of the children in the middle of the night. Bianca's children went to live with Giovanna, but after 6 months, they were returned to Daniel, and their contact with Giovanna was completely cut off. Now, as a side note, during that six-month period when Giovanna had the children, the investigation into Bianca's disappearance had continued. Less than a week after Bianca went missing, Daniel contacted the police and said he couldn't afford to live in his and Bianca's house anymore and was preparing to move and lease it out. He did, however, give police permission to search the house before he moved, so dogs were brought in to aid in the search, and Luminol was used to test for blood and blood cleanup, and at this point, it's unclear if anything suspicious was found during those searches. In addition to searching the house, Daniel also allowed the police to search Bianca's car, but it's unknown if they found Bianca's Prada purse, which is where Daniel told Giovanna it was. Now, what's interesting is that Bianca's family was told that Daniel's car was searched as well, but they later found out that wasn't true. Now, I would love to know more about this because I would imagine if they're going to search the house, if they're going to search Bianca's car, why wouldn't they search Daniel's as well? I would like to think that investigators on scene would have asked to do so, and if they had, were they just not granted permission, or was this an oversight? And because Daniel was being cooperative, they didn't find it necessary to search his car. I really hope that's not the case, and I really hope that Bianca's family's wrong about this and that his car was actually searched. Now, with no leads on Bianca's whereabouts, the police tried to track her cell phone. They learned that on May 1st, the day she was last seen, she appeared to have had a regular day until the late evening. She spent the day talking to Giovanna, making videos with her daughter, and just doing some other normal activities. At around 3 p.m., she left her house to run some errands, and after leaving, she stayed in contact with her daughter via text. Bianca got back home a little before 8 p.m., which is around bedtime for the kids. At 8:08 p.m., she texted Steve. Then at 8:38 p.m., she called him. After that, there was no activity on Bianca's phone until 10:22 p.m., when it was turned off and never turned back on. This was very out of character for Bianca, who was on her phone all the time, like most people these days. Now, here's a piece of information that I found extremely interesting. According to the records, her phone was at her house when it was shut off. And investigators also learned that Daniel made a call from his cell phone at exactly the same time that Bianca's phone was turned off. His phone also had no activity from 8:08 p.m. to 10:22 p.m. when he made that call. Now, one other thing to note here, the police allegedly have ping information from Daniel's phone on May 1st, but they have yet to release that to Bianca's family or any other search organizations, so we don't know if it's true or not, but if it is, that information could be critical to this case. We have a lot more to cover and we still have to dive into the perspective, but before we do, let's take a quick break.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, in addition to searching the house and Bianca's car and potentially having some ping information, the police also looked into Bianca's checking account and found that it was never used after May 1st. In fact, her account was later closed with more than $600 in it. Now, we believe the account was probably close to zero when Daniel allegedly drained the bank account, but then maybe one of her checks from work hit the account after that, and obviously she never went in there to withdraw the money. Now, in addition to tracking the bank accounts, they also looked into her nursing and driver's license, and those have also never been renewed. Might seem like a pretty commonsensical thing, but when you're looking at different scenarios, like could she have possibly just run away because she didn't want to be with the kids anymore? well, she would still need to survive. She would still need to drive. She would still need to work. So maybe on the off chance she renewed those things, law enforcement would want to make sure that they checked into it. Because imagine if they didn't, and then down the road, they found out that was the case. They would look like idiots. So this may seem like something that's not necessary considering all the outside factors. But when you're working these cases, you want to make sure you check all the boxes. So based on all this information, Bianca was determined to be at risk and a bolo was issued. Flyers were also made, which included a description of what Bianca was last wearing, as reported by Daniel to the police. He claimed that she was wearing a blue denim jacket, pastel multicolored leggings, wedge shoes, and was carrying a pink Prada purse and a black Prada wallet. Now, obviously, Julie was confused by Daniel's description of what Bianca was wearing for many reasons. So if you remember, early on in the investigation, Giovanna had asked Daniel what Bianca was wearing the last time he saw her, but he said he couldn't remember. But according to police, the description from the flyer came from Daniel, so he was able to remember what she was wearing or, if you don't believe him, what she was allegedly wearing. Julie also said Daniel's description of Bianca's outfit was strange. It didn't seem like something she would wear. Julie doesn't think Bianca even had a pair of leggings that matched the description of what Daniel said she was wearing. Also, if someone was going to go for a walk, they probably wouldn't wear wedge shoes. Then you also have the Prada purse. Daniel told Giovanna that the purse was left in Bianca's car, but he told the police that Bianca had the purse with her when she left. And at this point, it's unclear which of those two stories are true. In addition to putting up flyers with Bianca's description, there were also several searches for Bianca, including two in her neighborhood. The organization Texas Equisearch, which I've mentioned on this show before, got involved with the case and searched with ATVs, dogs, and drones. However, they couldn't search the locations where Daniel's phone was allegedly pinged because, as I mentioned, the police would not disclose that information. Now, even though Bianca wasn't found, the police determined that foul play could not be ruled out in her disappearance. The Charlie Project reported that there have been no named suspects in Bianca's case. However, both Daniel and Steve were considered persons of interest. Steve is the only person who has been cleared, at least according to Bianca's friends and family. Now, as far as Daniel's concerned, he was asked to take a polygraph test and he initially agreed, but after talking with a lawyer, he declined. And at some point after that, he stopped cooperating with police altogether. Now, as far as Bianca's loved ones can tell, he has not searched for her at all, and he maintains that Bianca left on her own accord. But Bianca's loved ones do not believe she disappeared on purpose. They know she wouldn't have left her three children, who she loved dearly. Over the years, very little investigative work has been done in Bianca's case. The police won't share any details except they are waiting for someone to come forward with new information. This frustrates Bianca's loved ones, who wish the police would try harder to find Bianca and bring her home to rest. In May of 2024, 8 years had passed since Bianca disappeared. At that time, the nonprofit Season of Justice funded a billboard featuring Bianca's information. Giovanna told the media that she hopes the billboard will bring attention to the community, to the police, and to Daniel. Giovanna said, quote, "Let it be known that we're not giving up and we're going to continue searching for Bianca. Look at the billboard and see she's loved. She's missed and she's going to continue to be advocated for and fought for, and that it's time to speak up." Okay, let's dive into the perspective, and I'm going to break it down into three potential scenarios. The first one being that Steve is responsible for Bianca's disappearance. So let's walk through that. Bianca's talking to Steve on the phone. Bianca and Daniel start to fight over Steve. Bianca grabs her stuff and decides to leave. Still can't explain why she wouldn't take her car, but let's say for some reason she decides to walk. Does Steve pick her up at some location? Does she just walk to Steve's property? I don't know how far it would be from there. And then she spends the night there or they hang out. And then something happens between those two where Steve ends up killing her. Now, I know there's a lot of problems with this theory. There's a lot of holes in the ship. First off, exculpatory evidence. It appears that Steve was not even around when this occurred. He was out coaching a sports team somewhere else. So you physically can't be in two places at once. There was a woman who was there. The mom identified her. As I said earlier, it's my understanding, or at least my assumption, that law enforcement went and spoke to this woman and confirmed the story that was given by both Steve's mom and Steve to say, hey, yes, this all lines up. Probably even spoke to this close friends, and I say that with quotations, maybe spoke to his husband as well to see what was going on there, because that whole situation sounds a little odd to me. But there's just a lot of problems with this. You would expect to see some type of phone activity between Bianca and Steve if they were planning to meet up. And as I've already mentioned, Bianca's phone was turned off while she was still at home. And from what we know, from what we understand, Bianca's phone has never been recovered. But are we to believe that before leaving her house, Bianca turned off her phone and then proceeded to just walk somewhere alone? Ask yourself, how many people do you know, or how many times have you personally decided to go on a walk at night and said, I'm going to turn off my phone before doing so? I'll wait, but I can promise you that the number is going to be very small, if at all. And then you also have to think about motive. Steve and Bianca appeared to be pretty serious. They were on good terms. What could have possibly happened where Steve would have a motive to kill Bianca? If he does, we haven't seen it yet. Now, the second scenario I want to talk about, in my opinion, is more likely than the Steve scenario, and that's that Bianca was picked up by someone who we've never identified. Maybe this person presented themselves as someone who could help, as a friend, and before Bianca had a chance to react, they changed it up on her and they had other intentions that she was unaware of. You could have a situation where, yes, she gets in a fight with Daniel. For some reason, out of anger, she forgets to grab her keys. So she decides to start walking. And while she's walking, a car passes by. There's an individual inside and they say, hey, listen, where are you trying to go? I can help you. She's desperate for a ride. So she gets in the car and they start heading wherever they're going. And maybe they get to their destination. Maybe it's on the way. But something happens at a moment's notice where she's caught off guard. She's attacked, and we're left here today wondering what happened to Bianca. Now, I mentioned this scenario quickly, and although I said it's more viable than the Steve scenario, I still think the probability of this is relatively low. There's a couple things that would have to happen here to make this possible, and they would be a series of bad decisions on Bianca's part. First off, she would have to turn off her phone at her house and then proceed to walk somewhere while keeping the phone off. Secondly, she would have to choose to walk down the road instead of taking her car, which was right there. Then the final thing, which might be the most important factor here, is that Bianca would have to make the conscious decision to get into a stranger's vehicle. And people don't normally do that unless there's a high level of desperation. This doesn't appear to be the case. She had her phone with her. She could have turned it on. She had friends and family that she could have called. As far as I know, the elements weren't terrible, so she wasn't trying to escape some dangerous storm. So there's a lot of things working against the possibility of this scenario being credible, but it does pose some issues because when we get into the final scenario, the final theory, because this scenario is still possible, it does make the investigator's job and the prosecutor's job very difficult. How does it make it difficult? Well, let's go into this last scenario and then we'll talk about it. So this is probably where most of you are going to fall as far as your opinions on this case. And that is that Daniel is responsible for Bianca's disappearance. She was at the house. He was at the house. Somehow he catches her on her phone talking to Steve. There's an argument. Something happens. The phone goes off. And then Bianca is taken somewhere else, either against her will or while she's unconscious or possibly already dead. The problem with that scenario is that there were children home. So how do you get around that? Well, in my experience working cases, but also researching them, in some instances, there's always a little truth in a lie. What do I mean by that? Well, you're looking at a scenario where maybe there's an argument and maybe Bianca gets up to walk outside for a minute to cool off, leaves her phone behind. Maybe Daniel follows behind her. And at that point, something happens where maybe they get in the truck together to go talk, or he forces her into the truck, or she starts walking down the road to get away from him and he follows in the truck. So when he tells this scenario to Giovanna about, oh, I got in my car and left the house and saw her walking down the road, there's a possibility that that actually happened. The difference here being, instead of driving past her, he drove toward her. What he did once he reached her, we don't know. So where does this speculation come from? Well, first off, motive. Who would have a motive to want to hurt Bianca? I don't think anyone would be higher on that list than Daniel. He was very upset that their marriage was falling apart, and it appears that he was very upset about the fact that it was falling apart because of another man. We also have instances in Daniel's past where he became upset and acted out with violence, physical violence. As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, when he allegedly found out about his ex-wife who was cheating on him. So there is a scenario here where he got upset with Bianca on this particular night, and there is a chance that it happened outside the house, which is why the children are unaware of what actually transpired. So in saying all that, if you were to drill down on me for more specificity, I would say more than likely there was a fight over Steve. Bianca leaves the house. She's either walking to her car or walking down the road. Daniel pursues her, and something happens at that time. He comes back to the house. He turns off her phone. There's no activity while he's doing what he's doing. And then he turns back on the phone when he makes his call. So where does that leave us? Well, it goes back to what I had mentioned earlier, cell phone coordinates. If law enforcement does in fact have Daniel's cell phone pings, they need to search that area extensively if they haven't already. That could ultimately be the key to this case. Now, having said all that, it's important to qualify here by saying this is the problem in this case. And I started the show by saying that the most logical explanation isn't always the right one. Even though it appears on the surface that Daniel could be involved in Bianca's disappearance, there's also a possibility that he's telling the truth. And because of that, it's very difficult for investigators or a prosecutor to pursue any type of charges against Daniel at this time. And until we have more definitive information leaning one way or the other, there's not much that can be done at this point unless someone new who we don't know of yet comes forward. And that's why I'm going to recap the case right now. Bianca Carrasco was last seen on May 1st, 2016 in the 1600 block of Walnut Creek Drive in San Antonio, Texas. At the time of her disappearance, Bianca, who was Latina, had dark brown shoulder-length hair and weighed approximately 125 pounds. She has brown eyes and is 5 foot 1 inches tall. Bianca wears contacts and has a surgical scar on her abdomen and also has a tattoo of the letter B on her hip. If you have any information about Bianca's case, you can call the San Antonio Crime Stoppers at 210-224-STOP. They are offering a $1,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. And if you would like to stay up to date with Bianca's case, please join our Facebook page by searching Help Us Find Answers for Bianca Carrasco. My final words on this case are going to be short, but to the point. I want to thank Bianca's friend Julie for helping us out on this case. I want to send my thoughts to Bianca's friends and family, specifically her 3 children. And finally, I want to challenge the San Antonio Police Department. From what I can see, not a lot has been done as of late in Bianca's case. And although there may be a sentiment that you kind of know what happened, you just can't prove it, you never really know until you get a confession or you find that smoking gun, and it doesn't appear that we have that in this case. So I would suggest bringing some new investigators in, letting them start from square one and seeing what they find. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Regardless, we have joined the fight to get justice for Bianca Carrasco, and we're going to keep our eyes on this case and see what happens. And if there are any major updates, I'll be sure to let you know. But until then, that's going to do it for me, guys. Everyone stay safe out there. And I will see you next week.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.